Let me ask you a question. Are you lost and do not know it? Don't turn the dial. Listen in. God may have something to say to you today.
Coming to you from the radio studios of Souls Harbor Covenant Church in Miami, Florida, USA, this is Walking in Power, a dynamic life application Bible study with Bern Zumpano, anointed author and teacher of authentic Christian doctrine. Bern Zumpano's spirit-filled teachings on practical Christianity have touched and transformed the lives of many people who have opened their hearts to God's Holy Spirit as a result of Bern's instructional teaching. Bern shows us how Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and how He can change your life and circumstances. We invite you now to listen in with family and friends as Bern discusses Christian issues and answers that will teach you to walk in the power and the knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit. And now, here's Bern.
Thank you, Glenn. Before we get started, let's pray. Father, on behalf of all of the people of Souls Harbor Church and all Christians worldwide, I come together in agreement, firstly speaking our voice of thanks, praise, glory, honor, exaltation, and majesty to your holy name, to all of the men of the earth and to the ends of the world. Anoint the people worldwide with eyes to see and ears to hear. We agree that all demonic scales are broken off of their spiritual eyes and ears, and that they will see and hear with the eyes and ears of your Holy Spirit. By the Spirit of power and might of your Holy Spirit, we call a clear, wide, open, unobstructed path cut to the heart, mind, soul, and spirit of every person listening, and to every man upon this earth, and agree that you will shine your light and truth upon them and into them. We agree for and call in, by faith, the greatest spiritual end-time harvest that the world has ever seen. Also in agreement, we bind Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the princes of the north, south, east, and west, all principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, wicked spirits in high places, all territorial spirits everywhere, all ruler spirits over all communities and peoples worldwide, all spirits above, around, and below them, all spirits of Antichrist, lies, deception, religion, witchcraft, python, unbelief, doubt, divination, all spirits of harm or immorality of any kind, all spirits of opposition, hindrance, interference, and obstruction, destruction, murder, theft, the Jezebel spirit, the Ahab spirit, the Absalom spirit, all spirits of slander, scandal, rumor, libel, defamation, maligning, derision, opinionated spirits, rumor and gossip, accusations, and false accusations, along with all of their physical and psychic attacks, assignments, and operations. We loose all the peoples everywhere from such activities, assignments, and attacks and operations, and call their strongholds down and destroyed, canceled, made null and void, cursed and destroyed at their roots, never more manifested or come to pass, rendered of no effect, judged, spoiled, and never seated, and decree any and all retaliation, revenge, or getting even permanently, immediately, completely, and continually forbidden, all in the mighty name of Christ Jesus, and in the authority of His name, Father, this is our faith confession, and we believe that we receive, and the saints said in agreement, Amen. Well, greetings to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and friends of our radio listening audience. Welcome to our worldwide Bible study, where we've been talking over the past several broadcasts about what it means to be saved. The Scripture says it is not God's will that any man perish, but that all should come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Did you know that there is a saving knowledge? We want to talk more today about what that saving knowledge is and why it's so important. In our last broadcast, we were studying scriptures, and the scriptures made it very clear in the book of Romans that all men are born into the world unsaved because of the condition that they have inherited through the fall of Adam and Eve. The scripture says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Matthew 5:48 tells us the requirement to get into heaven is to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, I guess it doesn't take much, then, for us to realize that man has a problem. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed. And Numbers 23:19 in the Old Testament says, God is not a man that he should lie. Therefore, God's position in the Scripture is that what he says and what he has given, all Scripture is God-breathed, is truth and is a divine revelation to man. The Scripture says, let God be true and every man a liar. How about that? You see, we can sit back and we can say, well, I don't know, I don't believe that the Bible is true, and what God means by that Scripture, let God be true and every man a liar, is that he doesn't care what you think or what you mean. He doesn't care what I think or what I mean. God says that his book is a divine revelation directly from him, and things are not the way we think they are. Things are the way God says they are, and God says that man, born physically into existence, has a fallen spiritual condition, which is why man has a tendency to sin, and not only to sin, but to sin repeatedly, to sin over and over again. Now, if the requirement to get into heaven, Matthew 5:48, says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, and the word perfect in the Greek of the New Testament means to be spiritually mature, as your Father in heaven is spiritually mature. If you are spiritually mature and I am spiritually mature, we consistently conduct our lives and our behaviors in an upright manner, in line with God's word, which is his will. But if we do not, and we walk contrary to the word, then we are in sin. So man has a sin problem, and only God can solve that problem. If you think about it, just on the basis of the law of cause and effect, no effect could be greater than its cause, huh? On the basis of that law, any salvation or cleansing which could come from you or me or any other person would be an imperfect cleansing, wouldn't it? And the requirement is be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, you see? But on the basis of the law of cause and effect, every effect has a cause. If we tried to clean up ourselves and go to God, because we are imperfect, we could never become perfect through our own effort. That's contrary to the law of cause and effect, you see? That's why stuff like yoga and meditation and New Age thinking and transcendental meditation, you know, the mental systems of different Eastern religions, Buddhism, Hinduism, Confucianism, Lao Tse, okay, or the conduct behavior religions such as Islam, where men follow men in all of those religions, cannot work for us. And the reason it cannot work for us is on the basis of the law of cause and effect, because no effect can be greater than the cause. So no perfection, which is right standing with God, can ever come from imperfect beings, on the basis of the law of cause and effect. You see, in many of the Eastern religion systems, they do not teach salvation, they teach enlightenment, and they tell you that what man needs to do to become godlike is to get enlightened. Well, enlightenment doesn't work, does it? How do we know that? Because India has had 5,000 years. Tibet has had 5,000 years to get enlightened through what they teach. And societies in those countries are filled with billions of people, not millions, not hundreds, billions of people who are no better off today than they were 5,000 years ago. You see, the Bible really shows us that from the time of Cain and Abel to the present, human life on this earth has been one big slaughterhouse, and it still isn't stopping. Why? Because man has a fallen nature, a sinful condition. Man does not need enlightenment, folks. Man needs to be saved from himself. Man needs a savior, someone who can impart the power of God onto his life to change his life from within and his conduct from without. And that can only happen by recognizing that this fallen condition, which makes man what he is, makes man a sinner, and every sinner needs a savior, and the word savior in the New Testament Greek means deliverer. Now, when Jesus comes into the world as Son of God and Son of Man, as the scripture says, that is, he comes to man and tells man about God, he goes to God the Father and tells God the Father about man. Now, when those things happen, Christ reveals himself, and when he reveals himself to us, he pays the price for our sin, which he did 2,000 years ago on the altar of the cross, spilling his own blood, which washes away sin according to the scriptures, because Father God always required a blood sacrifice, and sin is always washed away by blood, not by water. By the way, for some of you religious types, water baptism does not remove sin, neither Old Testament nor New Testament. The scripture says that sin was always remitted by blood. In the Old Testament, it was animal blood. In the New Testament, it was the blood of Christ. Animal blood took away sins for a year on the Day of Atonement through the tabernacle rituals. But when Jesus asked the Father if he could go to the earth and be the ultimate sacrifice once for all sin, once for all men, once for all time, Father must have said yes because he permitted him to do it. Jesus said, I lay down my life of my own accord. Stop the silly arguments about who killed Jesus. Jews did not kill Jesus. Romans did not kill Jesus. Jesus said he laid down his life of his own accord as a sacrifice for sin because Father God always required a blood sacrifice for sin. Don't ask me why. It's just the way it is, and that's what Father God had ordained. And so, what we learn from all of this is that if we receive Jesus Christ into our hearts, guess what? That perfect blood from that perfect God-man, God come in the form of man, that perfect blood, the scripture says, washes away our sin and credits his perfection to our account in heaven, so he justifies us to the Father. It is justified, not sinned. In other words, the scripture says the life is in the blood. Well, in the blood of Jesus, there is perfect life because he was a perfect sinless person. So on the basis of the law of cause and effect, his salvation, which he credits to our account when we receive him as Lord and Savior, washes away our sin and gives us his perfect life credited to our account in heaven. Now, the requirement of Matthew 5:48, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, is fulfilled. How? By trusting on Jesus by faith. And so the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it is by grace, God's favor to you, through faith. By trust. Faith is trust. It is by grace, God's favor, through faith, that is, it's by God's favor through trust on him, that you are saved. And that not of your own, the scripture says, it is a gift of God, not of works, not of self-effort. You don't have to perform for God to be acceptable. When you receive Jesus Christ into your heart, unconditionally, he saves you unconditionally. You don't have to perform for God. It's a come-as-you-are thing. And he washes away your sin by his blood. Now, the scripture says the life is in the blood, Ezekiel says. Well, that means that perfect life is in perfect blood. And the God kind of life, that is the Zoe life as the Greek calls it, is credited to your account in heaven by your trusting on Jesus. So Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9 says, It is by grace through faith that you are saved, and that not of your own. It is the gift of God. Now watch this. Not of works, so that no man can boast. See, God doesn't want anyone bragging. So what he is saying is salvation and eternal life in the Father is by grace, by God's favor to you, by trusting him. That once you ask him to save you, he does it for the asking. No conditions attached. See, that's a far cry from enlightenment, which if you tried to do yourself, would be an imperfect salvation. And when the requirement to get into heaven is be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, any enlightenment in your head would never create the justification required for salvation by trusting Jesus in your heart. If you measure the distance from your head to your heart, that approximately 13 inches or 30 centimeters or so, whatever it is, would be the distance by which you would miss eternity and eternal life, because it has to get from the head to the heart. And if it gets from the head to the heart, you will become convicted that you are a sinner, as I am a sinner, and we need to be justified by something greater outside of ourselves to the Father. And so the scripture says we have a mediator with the Father, an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. So in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes unto the Father but by me. Notice the last two words, by me, by me. There is no other way. Jesus said in the Gospels of the New Testament, the way to eternal life is narrow, and few there are that enter in. And the way to eternal destruction is wide, and many there are that enter in. The real word for eternal is age-enduring. It means for ages and ages, before the restoration of all things would come. That's billions and billions of years, folks caught in outer darkness, the scripture says. Okay, and that's the hell of it. God doesn't want that for you. He doesn't want it for me, so he has made a way out. So if we will receive Jesus Christ, he will come in and he will prove to you that he is real. Notice what he says in John 14, verses 18 to 23. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yes, he will. He will come to you. He says, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that has my commandments, that is the teachings of Jesus, and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. Now watch this. And will manifest myself to him. Now in the Greek of the New Testament, that word manifest actually means I will appear to him. Now he may appear to you visually, or he may appear to you so that you perceive or sense his presence. But he will manifest himself to you, because that's a promise of Scripture. John 14:21. He continues in verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. In other words, Jesus will come to you, and he will live with you and in you, in your spirit, and guide you and minister to you until you are home in glory with him. Now, let me tell you something, folks. Muhammad can't do that. Buddha can't do that. Lao Tzu can't do that. Confucius can't do that. Ramakrishna can't do that. Gautama can't do that. The Pope can't do that. I can't do that. But Jesus can do that. And only Jesus can do that. And it is self-proving. And the evidence that Jesus is present and has come to your presence or my presence, the first evidence is change of attitude about the things of God, about the Bible, about him. That's the very first clue or evidence that Jesus is present, is the change of attitude. And so, the evidence that Jesus Christ is real today in the world as a spirit person doing the same thing he did nearly 2,000 years ago is the evidence of changed lives. That there are millions upon millions of Christians who have received the born-again experience and the manifestation of Jesus, and it has changed their lives. And no matter what their testimony is, that is, the different ways that they came to Christ, the end result, you will note when you talk to them, regardless of what their story is that the end result is the same. Their lives have been changed. The evidence that Jesus Christ is real, my friends, is the evidence of changed lives. And he is willing and he is waiting to come into your life and to present himself to you and to change your life and give you a new beginning. And there is no sin or no condition that he cannot deliver you from. That's right. Think about that. You may think you're too far gone. You may think there's no hope for you because you've sold your soul to the devil, or demons are oppressing you. And if you try to leave or anything like that, that Satan will kill you. Those are all lies of the devil. When you receive Jesus Christ, you are transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, and Satan's plan for your life ends and he can't do anything. Don't let that hesitate you. Don't let that stop you from coming to Jesus. Jesus has a new beginning waiting for you, and he will send angels to battle for you. Yes, he will. And so what I'm saying to you is you are saved by grace through faith, through trust. Now, the scripture says in John 3:23, unless a man is born again of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What does that mean to be born again? Well, you were born once physically into the world. But to be born again means you have to be born a second time into the kingdom of God, and that is by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And the scripture says that Jesus says in Revelations, I stand at the door and I knock. He who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him. See, that's the manifestation. And I will fellowship with him and he with me. He stands at the door and knocks. That's the door of your heart, folks. But you have to open the door and let him in. And today is as good a day as any. Is there any reason why you should refuse Jesus Christ? There's no reason if you actually think about it. What has Jesus done to you? He hasn't done anything to hurt you or harm you. He is for you, not against you. And so, today is as good a day as any to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You don't want impotent, powerless religion with its rigmarole and its bowing the knees and going up and down and genuflecting and ritualistically praying ritualistic prayers all the time. You need a revelation of the living God who will manifest himself to you. Religion is impotent. It doesn't change lives. It keeps people in bondage. The scripture says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus wants to set you free from all of that stuff and get you into the kingdom of God. The kingdom is what it's all about. Are you ready? Pray this prayer with me right now, aloud, being willing to repent of your sins. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I repent of my sins, all of them. I turn from them by my own free will. I renounce them. I ask your forgiveness. I invite you into my heart now to be Lord and Savior. That is, to lead me through life and save me. I confess you before men as the resurrected Christ. Come into me now, Lord Jesus Christ. I receive you by trusting faith and faith alone. Amen.
Now, if you prayed that prayer,
Get yourself into a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, non-denominational church or Christian community. Get water and Holy Spirit baptized by immersion. Get into Christian community where they'll teach you the Word of God. I promise you, my friend, you will never again be the same, and God will give you a new beginning. God bless you. Talk to you more next week.
This program was brought to you by the volunteers of the International Radio Ministry of Souls Harbor Covenant Church, Miami, Florida, USA. We desire that this broadcast become a spiritual nourishment and blessing to you. There's a lot of Christian entertainment and testimony activity on TV and radio worldwide, but there's a greater need for instruction in the Word and the ways of God. Our desire is to help fill that need. If this program has been a blessing to you and others, you may wish to become a contributor to this ministry as you feel led by the Holy Spirit. Your contribution in the form of an international money order or personal check stateside would be greatly appreciated to carry on God's work and to keep us on the air. If you can't afford to support us financially, please be our covenant partner through your prayer support. Pray that our mission will be carried out according to God's will as we carry out His command that our voice go into all the earth and our words to the end of the world. We pray that this program is a blessing to you and that you'll tell others about us. Burns' classic and timeless Bible teachings given over many years past are highly anointed and are now available on cassette tapes along with his books and other ministry materials that teach the believer to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to hear from you. Write us or send us a postcard with a clear return address requesting our catalog or making your comments. Our address is Walking in Power, P.O. Box 161322, Miami, Florida, USA 33176. Or for telephone orders using your credit card, call toll-free 1-888-273-WORD. That's 1-888-273-9673. Until next week, we remind you that the Bible tells us that there is no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved from our sins. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and as a living person, willing and able to get involved in your life, shouldn't you? Invite Him into your heart today to be Lord and Savior, and receive Him by a trusting faith alone. If you want to know more about the necessity of being saved, write us. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hope you'll tune in next week at this same time as we bring you more of the Holy Spirit's timely Bible teachings through Bern Zumpano. Until then, God bless you and keep you in His love. Walking in Power is a production of United Ministries International.